We do thank the Lord for Roy and Sharon Moody. 10 years, hard to believe it's been 10 years. Over 10 years ago, we realized we needed some help, and we were starting to kind of look for somebody to help us. And I said to Ray Griffin, I said, ask your dad if he knows somebody to help us with our senior adults. You know, Ray's dad's a retired pastor. And Ray said, well, he's sitting on the back pew of your 11 o'clock service. And Roy had retired, and he and Sharon were trying to hide out back here and not do anything. We're glad the Lord brought them our way. Open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 2. Then Hannah prayed. That's how chapter 2 begins, those three words. Then Hannah prayed. And we understand the long history behind those three little words, don't we? Then Hannah prayed. We've been walking through her life, and so we know something about that deep well of her experience from which this prayer is drawn and poured out. We know about Hannah's heartache. Hannah, who could have no children, who was mocked by her rival and pressed down. We remember Hannah pouring her heart out to the Lord as a woman oppressed, declaring God to be the Lord of hosts, the reality that's the greatest reality in her life, and making her vow to the Lord. We know about Eli's promise and Hannah's peace and how the Lord remembered her. And now Hannah has this baby boy, Samuel, that she called Samuel because it sounds like asked. She had asked for him, and the Lord had given him to her. The Lord had asked her for him, and she was going to give him to the Lord. And remember, Hannah has been staying away from worship for 3 or 4 years. Elkanah and the rest of the family going to Shiloh to worship, but Hannah staying home. Actually, she's not been staying away from worship, but she's been staying away from Shiloh, worshiping at home, preparing to make that great act of dedication, presenting her boy Samuel to the Lord. She's been worshiping for 3 or 4 years, holding that baby, singing maybe, praying, preparing, and in doing so, coming to a clearer understanding of what God was doing, not just in her life, but in the life of all of his people. And during that span of 3 or 4 years, Hannah composed a prayer. Carefully composed and crafted. A prayer that she wanted to pray, a song that she wanted to sing there in the temple of Shiloh when she comes to present her baby boy. And this morning we get to read what she prepared for that special day. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. Now some people say that Hannah could not have written a poem like this, that the poetry is too well developed, that the theology is too advanced. But I say, why not Hannah? I don't know anyone more likely than this woman of remarkable faith, perfect submission, who made worship her way of life. And what a gift it is for us to be able to read her song of worship, her prayer, in this time of worship. So you follow along as we read the whole song, Hannah's prayer, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. Then Hannah prayed and said, my heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. Boast no more so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth, For the Lord is God, is a God of knowledge, and with Him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are shattered, but the feeble gird on strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry cease to hunger. Even the barren gives birth to seven, and she who has many children languishes. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and rich. He brings low. He also exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles and inherit the seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He set the world on them. He keeps the feet of His godly ones, but the wicked ones are silenced in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. Those who contend with the Lord will be shattered. Against them He will thunder in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and He will give strength to His king and will exalt the horn of His anointed. Anointed. We'll talk about that word next week. As I've studied Hannah's song these past few months, I feel a little bit like that young preacher that Dr. Brown told us about. Is Paul Brown in this service this morning? When he preached on Wednesday night, he said there was a young preacher who had studied so much, he stood up to start his sermon, and he said, I have so much material that I just don't know where to begin. And somebody in the congregation said, why don't you begin near the end somewhere? Well, I wanted us to read all of Hannah's song this morning, but I'm going to let most of it simmer for next week. Let you meditate on it, maybe marinate in it until next Sunday. And we'll read that a few times, and we'll talk about the great reversal next week. This morning, I want us to focus on just the first two verses, because in those two verses, Mother Hannah has some things to teach us about prayer. Let's let Hannah teach us to pray as we think just about how she begins this prayer, this poem, in chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. I'll read them slowly and make a few comments. Then Hannah prayed and said, my heart exalts in the Lord. That word exalt is a word that means to rejoice. It's a strong word. It speaks of unlimited, unrestrained joy. Exalts. I don't know if you watched any of the Ryder Cup, the golf this weekend, when those golfers make a putt and they just scream for joy, right? Or like a football player or fan, exalting, that kind of active, unrestrained joy. My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted. That, now, you can't tell it when a guy from Osage County says it, but those are two different words. Exalt and exalt. Exalt is to rejoice with irrepressible joy. My horn is exalted is a word that means lifted up. And in Hebrew poetry, the idea of my horn talks about someone's strength, their worth, their beauty, their prestige, their power. Maybe the best word would be dignity. Hannah says, my dignity that was so pressed down has been exalted. It's been lifted up. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemy. My mouth is open wide. My mouth is enlarged. It's almost like Hannah's saying, I'm in such a position of strength, I can trash talk my enemies. My mouth will speak boldly toward my enemies, because I rejoice in your salvation. Verse 2. Three no ones. There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one beside the Lord, no rival. There is no one who's a rock like our God. Now, just in those two verses, I want you to see that Hannah teaches us how prayer moves. There's movement in this prayer in some significant ways. There is a movement from Hannah's heart to her mouth, right? She starts with the joy that's in her heart, but she can't keep it there. Her mouth is going to speak. And she could not, or she at least would not, be silent. She had a testimony. And she wanted to give her testimony about the Lord's salvation, His deliverance in her life. And this prayer moved from her heart to her mouth. The first person that I ever remember, the first time I ever remember seeing a person play the guitar was Mr. Gray at the First Baptist Church where I grew up. And he would gather the children up sometimes and we'd sing songs. And one of the songs that we'd sing is, "If you're happy and you know it, say amen. If you're saved and you know it, say amen," right? And that's what he was teaching the children, is to express with your mouth what you know in your head, what resides in your heart. And Hannah has the same kind of movement. Open your mouth to praise the Lord. Remember when Jesus came into Jerusalem to lay down his life on the cross of Calvary on that Passover week? The Lamb of God come to be slain. And as he rode into Jerusalem on that donkey, fulfilling the prophecies of that the Messiah would come, the crowds began to understand that this was something special, someone special, and they began to sing those Old Testament songs about the Messiah. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they were praising Jesus. And the religious leaders in Jerusalem pulled Jesus aside and said, hey, Jesus, you need to tell them to be quiet. They shouldn't be using such lofty language to praise your name. Jesus said, I'll tell you something. If they remain silent, the stones will cry out. Because it's altogether appropriate that they sing my praise. Well, sometimes we speak when we ought to remain silent, right? But it's wrong to have a testimony in our hearts and not let it find its way to our lips. To speak up like Hannah. So we see this prayer moving from her heart to her mouth. Notice also, just quickly, that this prayer moves from my to our. And we want that movement to be happening in our hearts when we pray and when we worship, when we testify. Hannah starts off with a clear focus on her personal experience. Do you see that? My heart, my horn, my mouth, my enemies. It's an intensely personal prayer. But already by the end of verse 2, she shifts into the pattern for the rest of her song when she talks about our God. Nor is there any rock like our God. She's talking now to Israel, to the people of God. And in our prayer and worship, we want to have this same movement from heart to mouth, from my to our, from the corporate, from the personal to the corporate, from being focused on me and mine to be focused on us, on ours. But most of all, I want you to see this movement between verse 1 and 2. From Hannah to the Lord. Verse 1 is all about Hannah's personal experience. She sings and prays about how her overwhelming sadness has become unrestrained joy. How she was pressed down, oppressed, but now she's been lifted up. She was defeated and disrespected by her enemies, and now she opens her mouth to speak boldly in front of them. It's all about Hannah. But something changes in verse 2. And with the one verse statement about Hannah, she shifts from verse 2 to the rest of the psalm to focus on the Lord. And notice three affirmations, words of praise about the Lord. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. She shifts her focus to the Lord. He is holy. He is unrivaled. He is our rock. And one of the things interesting about studying 1 and 2 Samuel is, in so many ways, 1 Samuel begins with Hannah's song, where she says, the Lord is holy, He is unrivaled, He is our rock. And 1 and 2 Samuel together ends in 2 Samuel chapter 2 with David singing a song. And David's song begins with David saying, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge. I like to think that David learned to worship the Lord as his rock and his salvation at the feet of Samuel. Samuel, who mentored, who prospered, who developed, who anointed David to be king, taught him that the Lord of hosts is our rock. And Samuel learned that from his mother Hannah, who says here, God, you are holy, you are unrivaled, you are my rock. And the pivot point between verse 1 and 2 that moves Hannah from Hannah to the Lord is this statement at the end of verse 1, I rejoice in your salvation. Hannah teaches us, I rejoice in your salvation. So here's really what I want to say to you about prayer in a sentence. And really, I learned this primarily from what Eugene Peterson says about Hannah's prayer. Hannah teaches us that prayer launches from our personal experience. But it should come to orbit around the Lord. This is what Hannah's prayer does. It's launched from her personal experience. I rejoice in my salvation, in the way you've saved me, God. You've lifted me up. You've given me joy and victory. It launches from her personal experience, how she feels about the Lord and what she's experienced in the Lord. But she quickly, already by verse 2, comes to orbit her worship, her prayer, her song around what she knows to be true about the Lord. And what we see in Hannah's prayer in verse 2, we've already learned in chapter 2, we've already learned in chapter 1, haven't we? Remember? In chapter 1, Hannah launches her prayer in her own experience. She's pouring out that bitter heart before the Lord. But it comes to orbit around what she knows, that He is the Lord of hosts. And in the same way, we want to learn to be a people who launch our prayer from our personal experience, but fix our prayers on what we know to be true about the Lord. So oftentimes our prayers, if they launch at all, they just kind of wander aimlessly. Sentimentality about how we feel, but they never find any theological orbit. We start our praying with how we feel, but we want to get to what we know is true about the Lord, right? That's where we find the peace that passes understanding. That He is the Lord of hosts. That He is the Holy One of Israel. That there is no rival to Him. That He is the rock of our lives. And as Hannah orbits around what she knows to be true concerning the Lord, we as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to have prayers that may launch from how we feel, but they quickly come to orbit around the cross of Jesus Christ. That's what we know to be true about the Lord. And so we express how we feel in our personal experience, but we come to orbit around the Lord. Hannah prays, "I rejoice in your salvation. I rejoice in your salvation." Can you say that with confidence? I rejoice in your salvation. Has the Lord saved you? Can you sing to the Lord about your salvation? Is this a settled reality in your life that you can orbit around, that you can celebrate? In a few moments, we're going to sing a testimony song that starts with the line, "Deep in my heart, there's a gladness. Jesus has saved me from sin." Listen, if you can say that, then you've got something to sing about. You've got a testimony, like Hannah had a testimony. That because God loves us unconditionally and sent His Son Jesus to lay down His life on the cross of Calvary, that having paid the penalty of our sin, He rose again from the grave, and you've turned from sin and trusted in Christ, you can say, "Deep in my heart there's a gladness. Jesus has saved me from sin." And you have a testimony like Hannah's testimony. "I rejoice in your salvation." I had a great experience this week. Our oldest son, who's a historian, had his first book published by University of North Carolina Press, and it's coming out later this month. But he had an advanced copy. He brought it to me yesterday, and I started reading it just last night. And I read, he opens with this story, which is fascinating to me. George, it's a book about the Civil War, and it's a book about the Civil War. It's kind of an academic book. But he opens with this story about George Leonard. George Leonard wrote a letter to his wife on New Year's Eve, 1863. He had left home as a private in the 57th Indiana Volunteer Infantry and survived some of the most gruesome fighting in the Western theater of the war. Places that maybe you've heard of, like Shiloh, Stones River, and Missionaries Ridge. And by now he's been commissioned as a lieutenant. But he's struggling with the violence he's experienced and with guilt and with death. And he writes a letter to his wife. And in the letter to his wife, he says that he's longing for a clear and well-defined hope that all would be well with me in the world to come. I wonder this morning if you have a clear and well-defined hope that all will be well with you in the world to come. Do you know that your sins have been forgiven, that you'll go to heaven when you die? Do you, like Hannah, have that peace that passes understanding? Can you, with Hannah, say, I rejoice in your salvation? If you can, then you have something to sing about. Let's bow our heads together for prayer. Lord God, we praise you because you are holy. There's none beside you. You are our rock, a source of strength and stability, our fortress. We praise you because you are the God of our salvation. We give you thanks because Jesus is our Savior, who laid down his life on the cross of Calvary to deliver us from sin and death. We rejoice to declare that in Christ Jesus, we have a clear and well-defined hope, a blessed hope that allows us to rejoice in our salvation, no matter what our circumstances might be. I pray, Father, that with Hannah, we'd learn to pray, and that our prayer would move from our hearts to our lips. Our prayer would move from me to our. And our prayer would move from ourselves to you as we exalt you, our Savior. I pray, Father, that no person would leave here this morning without this peace that passes understanding, this joy indescribable that only Jesus can bring. I ask, Father, that each person in this room this morning would leave here being able to testify, I rejoice, Lord, in your salvation. Hallelujah. Let's continue just a moment with heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to sing this testimony song. And for many of you here this morning, your response to the Word of God will be to stand and sing this song of testimony from your heart to your lips, expressing the joy that you find in Christ Jesus, who is your Savior. You give that testimony and song this morning. But as we stand and sing this song in just a moment, some may need to come with a public response, joining our church or coming for prayer. Some of you may need to come receiving Christ as Savior. This invitation is open to you. You come and pray with one of our ministers. Call on the name of the Lord Jesus and be saved. Friend, if you don't have that testimony, if you can't say, I rejoice in his salvation, then come to Christ and be saved this morning. As we stand together and sing, you come.